Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're always excited when you spend a little time with us here as we talk Disney. Today, we just went around and gave some great tips on all kinds of different topics to make your next Disney vacation better. I talk about some built-in features of iOS for your iPhone that can make your trip better, that can make things easier for magnifying menus, for using Magic Mobile on your next trip, and lots of topics like that. Pam talks about finding last-minute ADRs when you're starving. Where can you find an ADR that you're not expecting? Also, she gives some tips on split stays. Ricky talks about PhotoPass and having your own PhotoPass photographer for 20 minutes. Also, we talk about the new MERS transportation options coming up for 2022. Lots of fun tips on today's show, so we hope you enjoy kind of a roundtable format. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today for your next Disney vacation over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It's one extra click, and it really does help support the show. And a huge shout out to our patrons. Thank you so much for allowing us to do four shows a week here on the feed. Plus, Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. You get that if you're a Patreon subscriber. So if you want more information, please visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1885 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Hooray! Happy Friday! We've made it to another weekend, and hey, that's a good thing. So hopefully you have some fun plans to get outside, maybe go for a run, maybe you got to cut the grass. You know what? The grass has to be cut this time of year. Just think of it exercise, right? You're filling your circle on your Apple Watch. And if you don't have an Apple Watch or some kind of a pedometer, are those steps really doing any good? Not really. I'm just saying. You got to always have quantified self. Hashtag quantified self for today. Anyway, get out there. Have some fun this weekend. Take us with you wherever you're going. We're going to have a potpourri of Disney topics today. We're going to throw some stuff out there that's happening down at Walt Disney World right now. Hopefully help you plan a better vacation this spring, this summer, this fall, and just have some fun. That's what Disney's all about. So joining me today to talk about all this stuff, she is not from a Disney World after all.com. She is from themouseforless.com. We have Ricky. Ricky, happy Friday.
Happy Friday. It is a glorious Friday here in the ATL. Gonna have a nice time this weekend. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just gonna say it's glorious because it's supposed to be really nice outside, so it's gonna be awesome. We're probably gonna be doing things in the yard, not gonna lie. You were correct with the mowing of the grass, the cutting of the bushes, the putting down of mulch. I mean, all these things and more will probably be happening for our household.
It's got to be done. You know, but that's the thing is, here's the thing. Like, if you do that on a Saturday, say you do it on a Saturday, you got a nice day, right?
Right.
You're getting a little exercise. But when you're done, like, here's, I don't really like cutting the grass. And like, Pam doesn't let me trim because I trim too deep. Like, I leave like ruts. And she can't stand that. So I'm not allowed to touch the trimmer, which is good life hack. Yeah. Screw it up once, you don't ever have to do it your whole life.
That's true.
I can use the blower though, right? Because that's fun and you can't really harm anything with that. Just don't go by the mulch because it shoots it everywhere. But here's the thing. When you get done with that task, like, isn't it the greatest thing ever? Like, you look out over your yard and you're like, oh my gosh, it looks like center field at Busch Stadium. Yep. You know, for like a few hours, you're just like, get a soda, kick back, lawn chair. It's the best thing ever.
It's the best thing ever until like a week later when it all has grown back. Yes. And you're just like, oh, I wasted all that time. Yeah, that's the worst.
It is. But you got to enjoy it while you can. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, do you have any green thumb tips for this weekend for all of us?
So, yes. So, you know, I garden. Like, I love to garden. We have compost. I put in a major garden every year. I love to do landscaping work too. I mean, all of that. Sometimes I think I should retire and like go work at Disney and be a landscaper or something because I really enjoy it so much. Although I will say we do not mow our own lawn. We have a service that comes in and does it because it just takes time and it's not, that's not the part of it I enjoy, cutting the lawn.
that's a perfect hack, right? Like, as soon as they pull off in their truck, then you just go out in the backyard and you're like, oh man, that looks so good.
Right? Yes, I know. And the thing is, when you're paying someone, like, by the time that they do it, they tend to do it a little early. So it's like always done in our house. So I like that. But what I like about gardening is the digging up and the moving of stuff. And I swear, Steve is so patient in this space because we usually are out there working together. And especially like if you have perennial beds, I'm constantly moving stuff around and he's just like, every time I'm like, you know what I want to do? I want to dig up this thing and I want to move it here. And then I'm going to buy something new and put it in there. And he's just like,
he's like, those tomato plants would have made tomatoes over there just fine. We just still got, what was that anyways, year? That one year yeah, you were so trying thing, to, you're trying to give us all like zucchini or something. I remember like you had a, like just a the overload of, I can't remember what it was.
Tons. Yes, yeah. I usually do. One of the things I will say is you should look, if you're doing any kind of gardening, and even if you just have landscape plants, look into composting some things. You can buy actually a container that you can put like under your sink or whatnot, and you can put certain food products in there. Well, do a little research into that, but like eggshells, coffee grounds, any kind of vegetables. I don't put meat or dairy in because that's not a good idea, but things like that, produce that doesn't have oil or anything on it. And then have a you take it out to the compost pile. We do it like every day, but take it out there. That is like gold for your gardening. I swear it is. And it's really, really easy to do. So that's my green thumb tip.
All right.
So follow me for more tips.
That's right. Get out there this weekend and plant something and feel very proud of what you got. Okay. So today, again, we're going to talk about just random topics. And I wanted to throw in just some things because, of course, I think you're going to be using your phone more, your mobile device more as you go to the parks. Of course, now we have, and I've gotten it now, it's Magic Mobile, which I'm super excited for. Of course, I like Magic Bands, and I'll probably go back and forth. I don't think you have to go all in, but I'm an Apple guy. You guys probably know that from over the years. And so I have my Apple Watch, I have my iPhone, and I'm just excited that on my Apple Watch now I have my annual pass. That's just like the coolest thing ever. I know it's just a little picture on the screen, but it's awesome. So I'm going to be using that when I go down. But here's the thing. Just a quick tip to help you on your next trip, because we've talked about this years ago, but I want to remind people that you have a lot of tools that you can use on your iPhone. And what you have is something called Control Center. And so if you pull down from the upper right-hand corner, you can actually customize this screen, but it has all kinds of default tools. One, and again, this is for the crowd like me. I'm getting old and I'm getting blind. That's why I've had glasses on the last year. My contacts just aren't cutting it anymore. There's a thing you can add, a feature, and it's usually on there by default. It's a magnifying button. So if you push a little magnifying glass, you can zoom in on small print because Disney is making the menus and all these things so small. I know they're not. It's just I can't read them anymore. But when it's dark and everything, you can look and zoom in on stuff when you're at Walt Disney World. And that is a great hack. So I use that a lot at Walt Disney World, other restaurants. Also, when you go in there, you have all kinds of stuff, your cameras in there, your flashlight, if you need to get at it. And also one of the things that people are doing is that with this new Magic Mobile system, a lot of it's associated with a QR code. Mm-hmm. Now, some people, here's a hack, because it is just a QR code, even though it's kind of embedded in the wallet of your device. And this is coming to Android too, so it'll be very similar, but I'm on an iOS device. But you have a QR code. Some people put this QR code, they take a picture of it and put it as the wallpaper, so it's the default on the front of their phone without ever opening up the phone. So there's another hack you could use, like for PhotoPass and stuff like that. So I just want to throw a few things out there. Those are stock apps. Obviously, My Disney Experience is going to give you that gateway into Magic Mobile. And the way to remember what it's called, it's alphabetical. We talked about this. Magic comes before mobile.
Seriously, I don't know why they didn't do mobile magic, because that makes way more sense. But again, we're talking about right. Disney and naming things, and we've already discussed how awful Creations Shop yes. is. So clearly, they're just not good at naming things right now, because it makes way more sense to do mobile magic. But I
would give it a shot. But I mean, even with your default thing, you know, default stock apps, you can get a lot done, and they can assist you when you're in a dark restaurant, or, you know, you're trying to save a few seconds there from opening your device, especially with a mask on. Now, we are hearing in iOS 14.5, which comes out any day, could be out by the time this show publishes. There's going to be a feature in there where you can open your iOS device with a mask on.
Without
Face ID will work with a mask.
It took a year.
If you have an Apple Watch that's authenticated. So you have to have your Apple Watch on. It has to be unlocked. And then it will just use your eyes to authenticate. So that'd be a great tip. Man, think about how many times you open your phone with a mask on at Walt Disney World.
Oh, gosh.
That would save you. So I'm hoping that comes out way before I go down in a couple weeks. But that's going to be something coming to iOS. Just a couple things. Just wanted to throw out there because most of us, phones in your hand. I know we try to get away from work and everything, which I do. But what I also, one last tip about that. I rework my front page of my home screen for vacation. You know, I obviously moved my Disney experience. I moved my my camera's down in my dock. I put all the stuff that, you know, weather apps, because I'm always checking the weather. Like, is it going to be raining in 2 hours? I need to know what the radar is looking like. You know, I'm a weather guy. So I put all that stuff on the front. And what I do is I move all my work apps off the home screen. So I don't even have to see them, right? Because if you have notifications turned on, if you're somebody like me, even though I have another agent covering for me when I'm at Walt Disney World, if I see 7 notifications, dude, I start to be like, oh, what are those 7 notifications? It drives me crazy. Even though I'm not even on the clock. Like, I'm just like, oh, there's 9 now. There's 12. And I'm like, got to have them out of sight, out of mind. That's just how I got to do it. So rework your phone. Get it vacation ready. Get your home screen ready. So that's the first thing I'm going to throw out there. Just hope, because I want to make sure this podcast is always helpful. All right, Ricky, bring a topic. What else you got?
I like the make your phone vacation ready, because that is totally something I don't do.
And then when you go home, though, you got to go back to work phone, right? You can't just leave it that way all the time. It's got to be both ways.
True, yeah. I definitely don't do that. So I think that's a genius idea. Okay, so speaking of technology and things like that, Disney Photo Pass, it's, again, something that I think a lot of people don't take advantage of, and I seriously think it and Memory Maker are the two most fantastic things that Disney has come up with. I think that you really can get some good bang for your buck here, and really get some unique photos and things like that from Disney. They have made it so that you can do even more unique photos, and I absolutely love this idea. So they are doing this thing where it's called Capture Your Moment, and it's at the Magic Kingdom currently only right now, but it allows you to have a short period of time, 20 minutes, just you, photo session with a Disney PhotoPass photographer. It has to be arranged in advance, but you know, we always get questions of how can I make my trip special? So if I'm looking to propose, or I'm looking to celebrate a birthday or a first visit or a baby announcement or honeymoon or baby moon.
Just don't bring any baby thing that's going to explode, right? I mean, over. That was 2020. We don't need stuff.
Don't do that. Blue, no, glitter. Actually, oh my gosh. So side note. So Brian and I were totally.
Whoa, where's this going?
We were eating at a restaurant and we saw this group of people, and they were all definitely there to celebrate the baby announcement type thing and find out what the baby was. And so they all walked into the park, right? And thank goodness that we were paying attention and knew what happens, because all of a sudden we heard bang, and I was like, what?
They totally
did it in the middle of the park.
Who does that? In 2021, read the room, people. For real, when people do that stuff, I'm like, were you just dropped on this planet? You don't do anything that pops in public area anymore. Come on.
Not in public. No.
Not where I'm from.
No. So anyway, so it's a 20-minute photo session. It can include up to 8 guests. It can take place on or around Main Street, USA. So, of course, you can get those amazing views of Cinderella Castle in the background. You can also book it online, which is kind of the awesome thing too. So you used to have to call in to be able to book this photo session, and now you can do it even through the My Disney Experience app, which is awesome. So to check in for your session, it's at the Town Square Theater, which is, you know, where you used to be able to meet Mickey Mouse. Obviously you can't meet him right now, but a good space for this anyway. And you can make advance reservations up to 60 days in advance. Of course, you are going to have to pay extra to print out your or get digital downloads of the photographs. So just keep that in mind. But it is still kind of a cool thing that they're doing.
Does it have a price?
Yeah, it looks like each session costs $50.
That's still not bad, though, for a personalized experience. Think of all the pictures you're going to get.
Absolutely, 100%. So, and, you know, everybody's always asking, well, how can I celebrate, you know, a birthday or something like that? Or, you know, as someone who got engaged at Walt Disney World, you know, Brian just, thank goodness I handed my camera to Brian because when we did this, because I obviously didn't know what was going on. So thank goodness he then handed the camera off to somebody that was nearby. So I have awesome photos from my engagement, but like, you know, I wouldn't have had those if he hadn't done that. So the ability to actually have that be done, I think is fantastic with something like this, capture your moment. So, because I mean, having engagement photos is super important, as well as a lot of other photos.
But too. You got to also think about unintended consequences, right? Is this going to be an assembly line for engagements now at this point, like in the hub? Like, is this going to be like they're going to be handing out knee pads? You know,
it's
like
there already is knee. An assembly line in
like, okay, it's been 20 minutes. Somebody else is about to get engaged.
Castle hub. I mean, that area is already just, you know, if you don't run into like one or two engagements during your day, you haven't been to the Magic Kingdom, basically.
Why is everybody on one knee? Oh, right? Oh, congratulations. I thought you were sore. You were doing a stretch.
I thought you fell down. It's
okay. This was Pilates or yoga session or something. I don't know. All right, Pam, what else? So let's get another. I think that's a great idea, though. I mean, it's an opportunity. The thing is, like, it doesn't cost you. If you don't want to do it, it doesn't bother you at all, but it gives you an opportunity if you want to have something special.
It gives you an opportunity, yeah.
Go ahead, Pam, what do you got?
Agreed. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about, because this is a question I get asked frequently. So I frequently say that, you know, my family is not good, or me being the travel planner for my family is not good about making advanced dining reservations for my own trips. So then people are like, well, so then where do you eat? So I'm going to give you some of my tips, but please don't share this with other people, because we have to keep working for me.
Then it doesn't work. Exactly.
So I'm going to tell you one of the things that I do. First of all, and I'm going to explain this like y'all don't know what you're doing, and I know so many of you do, just because my Disney Experience app, I don't feel is super intuitive at times. So one of the things that I do is I go to the app and I look and see what restaurants are there, because not all of them take advanced dining reservations. One of the easiest ways to do that from the homepage is to press the little thing that looks, you know, a locator thing, right? It's, you know, curved at the top and then sort of points like a "you are here" signal. And I click that, and then I change it from wait times, which it always defaults to dining. And then I can either filter it or just have it show a list. Now, when it shows a list, there's probably going to be some things there that you either don't know, or you're not quite sure when they open, or is it open now, or anything like that. One of the things you're looking for, if you don't have an advanced dining reservation, but you would like to eat somewhere that has pretty good food, is the word lounge. I wish you could just search for lounge.
But we all should have known this is where she was going. I know, right?
But right away, I'm seeing one of the top ones there, Ale and Compass Lounge, right? Because they're sorted by alphabetically. So go ahead and click that. And when you click that, it actually is going to give the hours of operation for that location. So Ale and Compass Lounge is open from 4 p.m. until 11. So that's great to know. The other thing you need to check on, especially right now with lounges, is there food? And you're going to be able to go ahead and click on that menu and see, oh yes, they do have food available. So I use this probably 10 times a day when I'm there. I just do. And you find all kinds of different things. First of all, you'll be able to see if some locations have walk-up times available. You'll be able to get on right there from that, or you'll see if the walk-up list is already at capacity, which I will tell you, for many of the dining locations, especially dinner, the walk-up list fills up fast. So you're going to want to look and see if you can get on the walk-up list as soon as that opens to you. But there's also just little gems that you'll find. Sometimes I sometimes will find a restaurant that I forgot about it, or is like a little hidden gem. I always tend to forget about the food truck restaurants over at Disney Springs. And when just by looking on the app, I've remembered those things. So this is a hugely functional part of the app. And I mention it because I swear to God, every time I'm traveling with my husband, he's like, how do I find the dining again? I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay, here we go. We do it, because it's just not that intuitive, but I've used it so often. It's part of my you know, my daily operandum, as they say. You can also filter and do that, but I like to look down through the whole list. So
I'm going to piggyback on that for my next little section here, because just kind of general thoughts on dining at Walt Disney World. And this has been going on for 10 years for me. So if you've been listening to the podcast, you know that I tend to eat. I'm very regimented in my day. I mean, I get up, I run the same amount of miles every morning. And I know, like, if I'm on pace, because the fountain comes on at a certain, it comes on at 7. And I know that if I'm not on lap 40, I'm either behind pace or I'm ahead of pace. So I'm always like, okay, I got to hustle. I'm on lap 40. The fountain's not on yet. So I need to pick it up, man. I'm flying. I mean, I'm super regimented. I have the same peanut butter and jelly toast every morning. You know, after the podcast, always Taco Bell. So I'm like that. So I get on vacation, and here's the thing. I typically eat around 4 or 5. I'm an early diner. I'm an old soul. You eat where the old people eat and when they eat, and you eat well. That's what I've always learned. But here's the thing. When you're at Disney, this is just philosophical. You don't have to eat at the normal times, because Walt Disney World is full of opportunities to snack. So it is okay when you're down at Walt Disney World to have an 8 o'clock dinner, even though you're a 4 o'clock diner. Because at 4 o'clock, you might have split a pretzel with somebody, or, you know, go and have a Dole Whip. You know, it's not terrible. You know, just have something to tide you over and snack. Or, you know, you could have, for example, while we're down there, the only beer garden ADR I could get was like 3:30 in the afternoon. Okay, that is kind of a recipe for disaster, because it is kind of like a meat heavy meal. So I don't know how this is actually going to work, but I mean, I can still have kind
during
of a...
During the heat of the day, too.
Right, right. Yes. There's a reason why it was still available, right? I mean, I'm just telling you. But the thing is, I mean, it's going to be like a dinner. It's going to be a late lunch, early dinner. But I think I'll be good to go by like 8:30, 9 o'clock. I'll need like an ice cream sandwich or something. I mean, and the thing is, you know, you have a breakfast, and then basically you're skipping a meal, right? You're going to have a breakfast, you're going to have a dinner, and you're going to have a snack. So it works out well for me. I'm not having to pay for 3 meals. I'm paying for 2 and a snack. I'm covered, right? Okay, so think about that. Also, with what Pam said, this is what triggered this. When you're going into the app and you're trying to make an ADR, it gives you the option of breakfast, lunch, dinner. Okay, it gives you those three kind of general topics. However, yes. Go in and click 7:30, yes. 8. Click the times, because it may pop up. And the thing is, go through, and if you don't see anything you like, okay, go to another restaurant, or, you know, do the next day.
Or go back.
Then hop back, because you'll be, you know, you might think, oh, I got to check back tomorrow. No, check back like 3 minutes later and go into, instead of doing like dinner, do 4:30, 5, because even if you're looking for, like, say you click on 5, it may pop up a 6:30, because there's a range there that, if, as long as you're kind of in the ballpark at 5 o'clock, it'll give you that. So I always make sure that I click on the like the times, not just, I don't just click dinner and see that it's not available. I'll go 5:05. And even if you want to eat at 7, start at 5:30, because it may give you something that will work. It might not be ideal. It's not going to be 7 o'clock. But I mean, hey, 5:50, hey, it could work, and you get your restaurant. So that's another tip I have. Use the times on the app when you're going for ADRs. All right, Ricky, go ahead. What you got?
Well, you kind of went into one of the things that I was going to talk about, and that was keep checking back. You mentioned, obviously, one of my hacks that I do all the time, where I constantly, like, scroll through and would see, okay, is this time available? Okay, no, so go to the next one. And I will do that. I will seriously do that while waiting in line, yes, for a good, like, 15 minutes just to see what pops up and if something pops up that I really want to do. So, I mean, keep trying. And I've had things pop up too. Like you said, they have absolutely, the last trip when I was down there, you know, Brian and I, we were leaving Epcot, and all that was open, it was, you know, 7 o'clock at night. And all that was showing up was Disney Springs restaurants. So I was like, I don't really want to go to Disney
Springs. Paradiso 37,
you know?
Man,
yeah,
you could've
gone. Paradiso 37, yeah. So I kept checking and I kept scrolling through that, you know, the times. And boom, wouldn't you know, Beaches and Cream popped up. And
oh,
I was
dude,
like,
that's the
done.
One. I'm hunting that one, because Mallory wants that.
Oh, it's
she
so
came
hard
to me.
To get right
I know.
Now, too.
She comes to me like 2 days ago, right? This is such the last minute trip. It's such a nightmare. Like, because, I mean, this is what I do for a living, and I feel like I'm failing. Like, because the ticket came in late, so everything is so behind schedule. But the thing is, she's like, I saw on Instagram this shake, and it's got a cupcake on. I'm like, I know. And I'm like, well, there's no window now, so we got to get. So I'm trying to do Beaches and Cream. I've been stalking that one.
It's so hard to get that one because it's already a small. Can you imagine how they probably wouldn't have opened that restaurant the way it was before?
You'd have seated three people. Yeah.
Perfectly honest. So that was going to be one of my tips, is to just keep checking back for restaurants. But that also goes with the park reservation system. Now, I know, you know, it looks, I've had this instance pop up a couple times where I just keep checking back, you know, where right now, like, things look really full in certain time periods. And then I'll go and I'll check like a day later or later in the afternoon. And wouldn't you know it, the park that I was looking for, Disney's Hollywood Studios, pops open. And it just depends on, you know, whether somebody cancels or something like that. But you never know when somebody's going to cancel during the time that you're going to be there. So keep constantly checking those theme park reservations because you never know what's going to happen. I was actually trying to book a trip, so I would like to head down there with, I'm going to be heading down there in May with pretty much my family. And I could get, because it's weird, I could get my brother and my mom Hollywood Studios, but because Hollywood Studios was closed for people staying on property, I couldn't get me and Brian because we're staying at Coronado. And I was like, what is, you know, how can I adjust this? And then I went later online and wouldn't you know it, I was able to get the reservation for the two of us. So just keep checking because you never know what can happen. It literally happened to me last night. So you never know.
Also, one last tip, because we're all these dining things. Mobile order your food while you're waiting in line for the ride before you want to eat. That's the greatest hack ever. I mean, this is like pre-COVID, post-COVID. Because, you know, Mallory's always like, you know, like, what do you want for dinner? You know, she always wants chicken nuggets or something or a hot dog, you know? And so it's so easy just to go through and get exactly what everybody wants. And then it's ready to rock because then you just order it. Or you can order it like at 8 o'clock in the morning for lunch. And then you just got to push, you know, when you get close and they'll make it. I mean, you can order it 4 hours ahead of time.
While you are walking over to the restaurant, hit the I'm here button.
That's playing with fire. I do that. But yeah, I always feel like I'm cheating.
It takes a time for the food to get ready. I mean, I'm going to be perfectly honest. I've waited a while sometimes. So I usually hit it while I'm walking over. I mean, the food's going to be ready when I get there. So that's not a big deal.
I do the same thing. I'm always just worried, you know, what if I get caught behind a parade or something? I guess there's no parades.
There's no parade.
I'm always worried. Exactly. Like, what if I don't make it? I do the same
thing. You're going to make it. You're going to get your food.
I think everybody does that. We just don't say it out loud. I'm here. I'm in the park. All right, Pam, what else are we talking about? What else we got?
So I'm going to talk a little bit about, see, I'm sharing all my stuff here. I'm going to talk a little bit about how to choose the resort or resorts that you're going to stay at. Nice. Okay, because this is a big question that we get all the time. So one of the things I think about, and I mentioned this before, but I just want to reiterate it, is that I think about, what are my goals for this trip? Are my goals that it's going to be heavy, park intensive? And if so, then I think about, are there going to be parks in particular that I'm going to be going to? And why that really becomes important is if I'm going to be going to either Magic Kingdom or Hollywood Studios and Epcot a lot. The Epcot resorts, you know, that are within walking distance or now within striking distance because of the Skyliner, there are a lot of choices. And if I'm going to be spending a lot of time at Epcot or Hollywood Studios, I'm going to pick one of those resorts without fail. There's no reason not to, because there's a value resort available. There's a moderate resort available on the Skyliner. And then you have the deluxe resorts that are available not only on the Skyliner, but also within walking distance to both of those two parks. So that's going to be consideration. If I'm going to be spending a lot of time at the Magic Kingdom, then I'm going to be looking at those monorail resorts or the Wilderness Lodge or Fort Wilderness. I'm absolutely going to be looking at resorts in those spaces. If swimming is going to be important to me, there are going to be certain resorts that I'm going to look at, because if I'm going to be by the pool or relaxing by the pool certain times, I want that to be a pool that we really enjoy. And we tend to enjoy pools that are at the resorts that are in the deluxe category and sometimes the moderate category. But the moderate and above have a slide. They have a larger pool area. There's just other things to do there. They're going to have lots of activities. Not that the value resorts don't, but it's just going to be a better pool experience for my family. And I'm going to consider that. I'm also considering the price point I want to pay and the amenities that I'm looking for, because of course those two things are sort of interlocked together. Is it important that there's a table service location where I'm at? And for my family, that typically is yes. I mean, at least one of those days we're going to want to have dinner and go and not have to travel anywhere. We're just going to want to have to roll up and not be that way. I also look at the the other transportation options to other parks besides the one that I feel that I'll be spending the most time at. And I look at the rooms. There are great photos over the Magic for Less and the Mouse for Less of all the resort rooms. But I think for me, that's something that I really want to consider. And it's important to consider. You may not be vacationing all the time at Walt Disney World. So when you're going to be there, don't discount the resort as only a place to sleep. It's so much more than that. And the success of your vacation is really going to be impacted by your resort in one way or another. So those are the things that I consider.
I agree, because, I mean, think about it. When you get back, you know, we've gone quite a bit. And the thing is, it was like, oh, that was the Coronado trip, or that was the, you know, Pop Century. You know, you kind of, that's how we talk about it, you know, or the January trip or whatever. But here's what I'm going to use for my last little piece here that I'll throw in. And this is just me talking out loud because you triggered that, Pam, because I get this question a lot and I don't have an answer. And I've been doing this for like a year going back and forth on this. Right now, we have two moderate resorts we can book. We can book Coronado Springs or we can book Caribbean Beach. Okay, both very nice places to stay. Of course, both Port Orleans resorts are out of the picture for right now. Hopefully, they reopen soon. We don't know, so they're out of the picture for now. So you have these two resorts, and people are always asking me, guess, which one's better? And the thing is, I don't know. I mean, I've been asked this probably 100 times, and here's the thing. I mean, It's like Pam said, it's the goal of the trip, but which one is better for guest A is not the same answer as guest B, and it's where you got to dig in. Like Caribbean Beach, okay, here's the advantages of Caribbean Beach, right? You're not only on the Skyliner, you are at the hub of the Skyliner. You are at the main junction of the Skyliner there. Caribbean Beach also has a sister resort or an on-site deluxe resort, which opens up a lot of dining options. In you know, a second Skyliner station, and it's also just fun to walk through the Riviera at night. It's a beautiful place, even if you're not staying there, to shop, to dine, to enjoy. You know, you can't go in the pools and stuff, but it it adds to the whole. You know, if you're staying at Caribbean Beach, right across the water, the Riviera was there. It was gorgeous, so that's an advantage. Caribbean Beach has a really cool feature pool and has nice quiet pools too. So does Coronado. I would give the. So that's a lot of advantages to Caribbean Beach, right? If you're going to the parks a lot, two of the parks, you don't have to take a bus. You're just directly there on the Skyliner. You're at Epcot. You're at the studios. You could also hop over to Pop Century. I don't know if you want to. I did actually go shopping one day. Here's the thing about Coronado, though. I will honestly say I think Coronado has better rooms, especially if you stay in the tower. I guess I think the rooms resort-wide are better at Coronado. I just like them. I kind of like, this is kind of weird, but I kind of like the feel of like the entire grounds of Coronado over Caribbean Beach. Caribbean Beach is fine. It's very tropical and I love palm trees and stuff, but Coronado is just, there's something cool about it. It's that theme really hits well with me. I don't mind staying in the Ranchos or over in the Casitas, you know, or in the tower. It doesn't matter. Like, I just like the whole resort. Coronado's pool, a feature pool, I would give the dig site a slight edge over Caribbean Beach's feature pool, even though it's pretty much a wash. They're both really nice. I would say dining at Coronado under normal circumstances is better. While Caribbean Beach is pretty good, I would say Coronado under normal circumstances with everything open is better. Coronado, though, you do have to take a bus to all four parks. So it's that thing, like, do I stay at Coronado in what feels, because I truly feel like Coronado feels like a deluxe resort, the feel of it. Like when I'm there, I feel fancy. Caribbean Beach, I still feel, it feels fun. It feels like a vacation destination, but it feels a little bit more upscale over at Coronado. But I'm trading a Skyliner for better rooms, higher class amenities, it feels like, but just a smidge. So it's like transportation versus the comfort of the room, the newness. I don't have a right answer. This is the whole thing. I mean, I don't have an answer for this. And that's the whole thing. Which one's better? I don't know.
There isn't. And we've stayed at both since the reopening a couple times. We've actually stayed at Caribbean Beach a few times, and we've stayed at Coronado a few times. There actually isn't a right answer right now. There just isn't. It will vary according to what is more important to you for that trip. And so that's why I really consider that each time. I consider those factors, the transportation, the food, the pools, the rooms, the amenities. And sometimes I'm surprised at where we land, really and truly. Sometimes I go into a trip thinking I really want to stay here. And then when I consider all those things, I'm like, oh, this is where we are. Okay. So I just go with it at this point.
I mean, I'll be honest, like I'm going down for the cheerleading thing and Mallory and I are staying a couple extra nights to go have fun after the competition. We're staying at Coronado because she wanted to stay in the tower. She's never been in the tower. So we're doing that. But then this summer, we're staying at Caribbean Beach. So it's not like I'm like picking one or the other. I'm just like, we're doing
right.
Both. I mean, we're just, but yeah, it's the whole thing is, you know, I try to give, because, you know, people ask when you're a travel agent, like, okay, that's like your job. Like, tell me, you know, which one's better? Here comes the long email. Because like, I can't, I, you know, please don't lock me up like that because I don't know. And I'll be honest, I can't tell. It just depends is kind of the story there. And so, yeah, Diane's got it. Split stay. Correct. That is the correct answer. Always the correct answer. Split stay. All right. That's my last little bit. Ricky, what do you got? One more thing to share.
All right. So obviously the big question for 2022, since Disney Magical Express is going away, is how am I going to get to Walt Disney World Resort?
I've actually heard hitchhiking's making a comeback.
Hitchhiking is totally making a comeback. Yes, please don't hitchhike. So, you know, a lot of people have, you know, said obviously rideshare services, taxis. He has even been talk about the Brightline train, which, you know, eventually it will come to Disney Springs, but I think it's going to take a lot longer than 2022 for it to happen, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So everybody is freaking out going, how am I going to get to the Disney Resort? And I understand 100%, especially if you don't want to rent a car, you're not comfortable driving around, you know, Orlando or Walt Disney World or whatever. So MERS is coming out with a solution, and it's going to be called MERS Connect. It debuts in January of 2022, and it's going to connect from the airport to Disney Resort area hotels with the same reliable express service that guests expect. It's actually because, well, MERS was
right
running Disney's Magical Express. So
they might know how to do this because they've been doing it for a decade.
Spoiler alert. MERS has actually been doing Magical Express. Hasn't really officially been Disney. It's been MERS. So with that, guests are going to be able to schedule their service, luggage handling, so they're going to handle the luggage for you, and return trips from resorts to the airport. In addition, they're, of course, going to be able to offer enhancements to have greater convenience and different vehicle options as well. The service obviously hasn't officially debuted, so there's not a whole lot of information that's officially out. Guests can start making reservations beginning May of 2021. In which that at that time, they're going to launch a custom reservation platform and they're going to share pricing. I know that's kind of been the sticky widget for a lot of people is, oh, it's not free, or, you know, Disney's not going to reduce their price because, you know, Magical Express isn't happening anymore. And I understand. I get that aspect of it. But at least this is an option for guests who were wondering, how am I going to do this? Because no matter what, Disney's not going to offer Disney Magical Express anymore. They're just not. It's not going to happen. They're not going to have a free service anymore. You're going to have to pay for it some way. I mean, you know, that happens everywhere else in the world. You know, if I want to go, like when I was in Paris, you know, obviously I had to figure out a way to get from the airport to my hotel and, you know, all that stuff. So unfortunately, I get the frustration. I really, really do. And it's not going to be free anymore. And I 100%, I get that. But at least this is a solution. So we are moving in the correct direction. You know, it's not free. I get it.
It's a great solution for first timers and for families. I mean, I'm glad this is out there. And anybody who wants to use it. But I think that really, it takes kind of the nervousness about, oh my gosh, you know. Because, I mean, absolutely, you know, the people that have been there often, you can rent a car, you can do rideshare. You know, you're not so, you know how it works. But first timers, this is good.
I think this is the ideal thing for a first timer or those with large families. I think this is going to be the perfect option for them. And like I said, more information is going to come out. We don't even know what pricing is going to be. So we don't know how much it's going to cost for guests to be able to use this service. So You know, just be patient, and as we learn more, we will share it with you. But I'm excited that there's at least going to be a solution for guests to be able to utilize.
I agree. We're supposed to find out pricing next month, I think. And I'm guessing somewhere similar to what Disney Cruise Line offers for ground transfers.
I would assume so.
I'd say in the $35 range, if I had to guess, but we'll see. I'll see how close I am.
Yeah. No, I think that sounds about right.
We'll see. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe they surprise us. All right, Pam, close us out. What final topic do we have here on Potpourri Friday?
So I'm going to give tips on one of my other areas of expertise, and that is the split stay, because that is something that so many people ask about. If you're like me, and sometimes you just can't choose between one hotel and another, you can always, always, always do the split stay. So there's a few things to keep in mind for this. What the split stay means, and it means different things for different people, but what when I'm referring to a split stay, I'm referring to a guest staying at two or more different Disney resort hotels. So with the split stay, if you are booking a Walt Disney World package, you're going to want to look at the dates that your park ticket that you're booking with that package is valid. Because of the way that Disney tickets are now, there are different validity dates depending on the length of your package and the number of days of tickets that are included in your package. You're probably going to want to work with a travel agent in this space, because we'll guide you in the right directions, but we have ways to work around different things to make sure that you have tickets for all the days that you're going to want tickets during your stay.
And just to jump in there, the thing is, you don't want to buy the tickets twice. You might say, I'll make two packages. You don't want to do that. Yes. You want to make the package at the front. You want to make a room only on the second, but you got to manipulate the tickets on the package. It's the travel agents take care of you, but this saves you the money and you get tickets. Just like you have tickets for the entire stay. It's piece cake.
Right. Yes. It's not as straightforward as just being like two packages, two sets of tickets, because then you're paying for those first two days, which are the most expensive days of your tickets twice.
Let's don't do that.
We don't want you to do that. So we'll help you with that. We promise. Another thing you're going to want to consider is transportation from the first resort to the other, right? It's all well and good until you're packing up on your first stay and you're like, oh, dang, how am I getting to the next resort? Okay, kids, each of you grab a suitcase. We're getting on the bus. We're walking down
World Drive to Coronado from the Grand Floridian.
That's right. That's right. You're on Google Maps looking to see how long it's going to take you to walk there, right? No, you do not have to do that. And the great thing is that Disney does offer this service for you. You will simply take your bags to Bell Services or have Bell Services come to your room, depending on where you're staying. And you will let them know that you're going to transfer from one resort to another. Give them the location of your next resort and they will do that for you. Then you can go ahead and enjoy the parks during the day. Now, the one thing you're going to want to do is keep anything you might need between right then when you're giving them your luggage and let's say later on in the afternoon, like let's say early evening, anything you might need between that time and early evening with you on your person. This includes medications. It includes swimsuits if you're going to want to use that. It includes just anything. I'm just going to say anything. Do not put your IDs, your passport, whatever in this bag. Do not put your Disney gift cards, which you're going to need to pay for dinner later. Do not leave anything like that in your bag. If you find that you have a whole bag of stuff that you're going to want to have with you at the next resort within the next hour or two, pack a bag, take Uber, go over to that next resort, and then check that bag with the Bell Services at your new resort. The reason why I'm cautioning you in this space is that when you walk up to Bell Services and you let them know that you're transferring from one reservation or from one resort to another, they don't have cars that are like standing by there. They're immediately going to run your luggage over just to ensure that it's there whenever you are. They probably only do this a couple times a day at most, maybe once a day. So they're going to take all the luggage to different resorts at that point in time. So there may be a big lag in time between when you get there and when your luggage gets there. So if it's important to you, keep it with you and or go to the next resort and check your luggage there instead of having Disney transport them. I'm trying to think what else. What else is important for split stays? Remember on the day that you're checking out of your first resort and the day that you check into your next resort, you actually have access to the amenities at both resorts that day. So you can still use the pool at your first resort. You can use the pool at your new resort. So consider that as well. And when I'm doing this, you know, we tend to do like a Magic Kingdom resort on the front end and an Epcot resort on the back end or something like that. And I have my park days align with the different transportation or different location that my other resort may be. Again, if you're going to be staying at, let's say, a value resort and a deluxe resort, my suggestion, put your nicer resort at the end.
Correct.
It's the perfect way to end a trip. It's a little humbling to go from the Yacht Club to Pop Century, I will say. Like, you're just like, oh, yes. I never quite thought about the rooms being different in size or the pools being better at one or the other. Well, let me tell you, when you're staying at the value resort on the end, you're gonna notice it a little more. It's gonna not feel as plush, shall we say. And those are some of my tips for resort hopping.
Those are great tips because you get to have two different experiences on one vacation, which is always fun. You know, you get to say, oh yeah, it was great being over at Coronado, but then I got to experience Yacht Club and go, you know, walk in the International Gateway. So great tips. And I hope that, you know, you guys really enjoyed today's show, kind of a little bit different than we usually do, but we wanted to, you know, we've been talking about some fun topics on Fridays lately, but we wanted to give you some tips, you know, some meat to the show so that you could hopefully, you know, I know that you guys probably know 90% of these tips, but maybe one thing will lead you to another thing that can help you get a little bit more out of your next vacation. That's what this is all about. So hopefully you enjoyed today's show. Don't forget, this show today brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. As always, just drop by the Magic for Less. There's a lot of tips over there. One of the things I love about the Magic for Less website is the resort guides. So you can see the pictures of all the resorts. There's some layouts. If you want to know what the rooms look like, you know, the seasonal pricing even on the website, just things like that. And while you're there, fill out the quote form. If you're thinking about going down, put some dates, resorts, who's going, and we'll get you some availability, some pricing, and we'll go from there. But it's a really easy way to kind of take that first step towards your next Disney vacation. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Free way to support the show, and it really does help. And finally, a huge shout out to our patrons. Thank you for allowing us to do 4 shows a week here on the feed. Plus, you, me, and Scotty G every Sunday night live at 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern, over there on Facebook and YouTube. And also, if you're a patron, you get Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. So get that. And thank you for supporting everything we do on Patreon. Also, don't forget, you can give us a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter at BRGuestMike and at BRGuestPod. And of course, you can check out the video of all the shows on Facebook and YouTube. Just search for the BRGuest Podcast. All right, we're going to get out of here, and we'll be back again on Sunday night, again, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. We want you to give us a call. But until then, have a great weekend. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome weekend. But whatever you do, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.